Hi, this is Allison Gingras, host of A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, your on-air book club. A Seeking Heart features daily live discussions, weekly giveaways, and author interviews. We don't just review books, we share them, and you're invited to participate by calling in or posting your comments on social media. The best part, no reading necessary. I got you covered. Please visit A Seeking Heart show page on breadboxmedia.com for showtimes and featured books. Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Good morning. We are coming back from a very long weekend. We were here last week with the Catholic Moms Prayer Companion. We had Lisa Hendy, who is the co-editor and one of the co-authors of that fabulous Prayer Companion. Then I was joined by Jeff Young and Sarah Dam. Who else was here? Roxanne Solonen and Colleen Dugan. Yay, I remembered everybody. It was so wonderful to have them all here. I'm also a co-author. I was blessed to contribute 7 reflections to the Catholic Moms Prayer Companion out now from Ave Maria Press. If you want to know more, go over to Reconciled to You. Click on the show, radio show blog. It's right under the radio show link. And there is their all 3 of the shows, right? Easy listening with some show notes, I think, with some great links. I think you'll enjoy learning more about the Catholic Moms Prayer Companion and some of the, 5 of the, well, I guess I included me, 6 of the 80 plus contributors to that wonderful prayer companion. And it's not just for Catholic moms, it's for all women and even men, as Jeff Young proved to us when he was here. Jeff Young is in it, Mark Hart, Mark Cardiolona, can't say his last name, which I have to work on because he's coming on the show very soon. So, wonderful book, so happy to have them here. And then it went into Labor Day, and Allison took Friday through Tuesday off. But here we are with the autumn reset, as I am calling it. My daughter's off to school. My son started full-time college, praise the Lord, and full-time work. Just so proud of him, pulling himself together. It's every mom loves to see when their child is making strides toward adulthood. Adulting is hard. I don't like it, and I'm sure for him, it's, you know, he doesn't like it either most days, but it's good to see him doing that. So we're just going to talk this week about one of my absolute favorite books, The Imitation of Christ. And I discovered a new book out from Kelly Mantone. It's called A Worthy Reception. It's a retreat based on Thomas A. Kempis's classic Imitation of Christ. It's available on Kindle. I'll have the link, of course, in the show notes. So to be able to bring you Kelly's book and to spend this week, the rest of this week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Kelly will be here on Friday, just delving into Imitation of Christ, which I've just dreamt since I started the show in 2015, January 5th, 2015. I've been dreaming about the day where we can talk about imitation of Christ. And so this is going to be amazing because God is good. Everything I was thinking about that I've been, what I want to talk to you about today, as I was preparing for the show and reading through Kelly Mantone's book, again, A Worthy Reception, I was like, hey, wait, that connects, craziness. Love it when that happens. So instead of giving you the weekend rundown, which I was going to do, which includes Allison's accidental drunkenness. Yep, the church lady got drunk. So embarrassed, but I feel like, and as I giggle, but I feel like this is something I really need to share because there is this, I don't know, this pedestal placing of people who have, who share their faith. I wouldn't even say I have a great faith. I have a faith that's always evolving. I'm always trying to be more faithful, but I'm so human. And I think this weekend absolutely proved it to me when I, like, for real, literally got drunk. Like, did not mean to. I should have known it was happening, but you know, sometimes you're sitting and you don't realize the stupid choices you're making until you stand up to somersault. Yeah, that's coming too. Not my finest hour, but I feel like if I'm going to be an authentic witness, if I'm going to sit here day after day and encourage you to embrace Christ in his forgiveness, his mercy, his love, then I need to be very real. So we're going to get real today, super real today, as I just come clean with my behavior this weekend. Ironically, this is the funniest thing. So ironically, I was drinking because just been really overwhelmed with anxiety lately. I don't know what's triggering it again, if it's the change of seasons. Sometimes that can happen as things change. Been feeling this really funky feeling on my right side, which I think I finally discovered. It's not a pain. It's just like this weirdness. Anyway, because I'm just full of weirdness, I discovered it's kind of a combination of losing weight and my I can't even believe I'm going to say this, but it's me and I will. I am a belly fat person. That's where a majority of my weight is in my belly. And so as I've shed the 20 pounds, it's now becoming rolls. Before it was like a nice big donut, just a big beach ball. And now it's kind of getting these rolls going on. And I think I'm just not used to feeling that. And then I've also been dealing with eczema all summer. It's been really hot and humid. And I also think stress has brought it on. Still dealing with lots of stress around here. And I decided that I would use hydrocortisone cream, right? Makes sense. It's what we use for itchy hands. However, I didn't read. It's really important. Can I just give you a public service announcement here? Really important to read the dosage. So in about a week and a half, give or take, I used an entire tube. So I think that I may have just teeny tiny bit inflamed, enlarged my liver a little bit by having way, way too much steroids. So I feel fine. I don't have fatigue. I don't have jaundice. I spent a little time on MayoClinic.com. Am I the only person who lives there? I can't be the only person who like tries to self-diagnose myself 24/7. With somebody with anxiety and hypochondria, I'm constantly thinking, is this serious? So I've already done my prayers today. I did find that the one thing to battle anxiety more than anything else in the world is prayer. And when I'm super anxious, the only prayer I can really muster is the rosary, because it gives me something to focus, and I don't sit and pray, I walk and pray. And so today, though, okay, more confessions. Like, if you've ever wondered what goes on in my head, this is the show for you today here on A Seeking Heart, as I reveal A Worthy Reception, the new book from Kelly Mantone, and how insane I really am. So I've got these really cute new sneakers. I like buy one pair of sneakers a year. I'm terrible. Then I wonder why my feet hurt and my back hurts. Anyway, so it's been a little rainy as Hurricane Hermine came through a little bit, kind of on the outskirts of the coast. I said, I want to get my sneakers wet. So I decided to march around my kitchen table. Yes, it makes you a little dizzy because my kitchen table is not that big, but it's movement. So this is how I kind of battled my anxiety today, through prayer, through the rosary, through scripture, and through spending some time with the imitation of Christ as it is embedded beautifully in Kelly Mantone's new book, A Worthy Reception, A retreat based on Thomas A Kempis's classic Imitation of Christ. So let me tell you a little bit about how this is a retreat and how this book works as a retreat. And again, this is on Kindle. So you'll have to excuse me, though I do think I figured out how to stop my Kindle from turning off. So yay me. Sometimes I feel so elderly when it comes to my technology. So this book is meant to be a retreat that you complete in 4 days, with penance on the third day and Holy Communion on the fourth. I'm reading right from Kelly Mantone's book, A Worthy Reception. I listed the suggested days of Thursday through Sunday, Kelly tells us, but feel free to use the retreat on any days of the week so long as you have access to the sacraments on the proper day. So, of course, now we know a worthy reception is worthily receiving the sacraments of reconciliation and Holy Communion, the Eucharist. I love this idea. This is the minute I saw it, my heart just sang, and I couldn't even text Kelly quick enough or instant message her quick enough to ask her to come on and talk about this. Each day's readings are broken into 3 hours, morning, noon, and evening. No, it's not an hour of reading. It's broken into 3 different hours when you should pick up the book and read. The number of readings increase each day of the retreat, with Sunday containing the 3 hours plus readings for both before and after Mass. If you cannot sit down and do all the readings at one time, I encourage you to try reading the chapters throughout the morning, afternoon, and evening that they are scheduled. You can also spread them out over a longer period of time. There's time when you pray on your knees, and she explains when that happens. The italic numbers throughout each chapter refer to specific Bible verses which are listed at the back of the book. If time permits, you may find it beneficial to look up and meditate on these scriptures. She's added introductions to the beginning of each day as a guide for each day's focus. This book can be used at any time of day, of year, and multiple times a year. Anytime you feel yourself growing lukewarm, and as Revelation tells us, that the lukewarm will be spewed. Yeah, isn't that a beautiful thought? Spewed out. Not good. Or need to be more mindful in your reception of the sacraments. Last night, Kevin and I started deacon school. Well, he started. I just tag along. And we had Mass as part of our formation evening, and we received communion. It was a Mass. And I usually receive on my tongue because, for me, that helps me feel more humble, like more aware of who I'm receiving, and it kind of keeps my heart in the right place. And we were just going back and forth about receiving in your hand and receiving on your tongue. And it really reminded me, as I was reading Kelly Mantone's book this morning again, A Worthy Reception, of how quickly I can become just too used to receiving communion. We have a lot more to talk about today on A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. This week, for the remainder of this week, we're going to be talking about Kelly Mantone's new book, A Worthy Reception. And if I am saying Kelly's name wrong, it's not my fault. I asked somebody who I thought was pretty knowledgeable. Though I think today after the show, I may double check with Kelly. Should have done that before the show. But hey, if I'm saying everybody's name correctly, it's just not a seeking heart. It's just not a seeking heart. I don't know if you saw on my social media, but it was pretty funny. The day after I had Lisa Hendy here, I might have been even that night that I had Lisa Hendy here last week talking about the Catholic Moms Prayer Companion, out now from Ave Maria Press, of which I am a co-author. Kind of neat. Anyway, she was here and I completely destroyed the name. I'm going to probably completely mess it up again. Newly minted Saint Juniper. Yeah, I'm not saying that yet. Sarah, it's a place in California. The missions out there completely messed it up. And she very graciously corrected me and then said, well, I would be just as hard to say Worcester if I was in Massachusetts. So that night I never go to McDonald's, maybe that's why I don't feel good. No, I feel fine. It's just this weird thing. Anyway, I went to McDonald's and apparently on their cups they are putting how you pronounce the weird towns in Massachusetts, and right there was Worcester. Was how you spell, you pronounce Worcester, which is spelt W-R-C-H-E-S-T-R, like Worcester, but we say it W-O-O-S-T-E-R, like rooster, Worcester. Well, Worcester, Worcester. I don't know. It's how we talk. We make the best of it, but I never even thought of it being different until I started to meet people outside of Massachusetts. We're like, what is that? Doesn't even make sense. Even my own town doesn't make sense, but you never, it's just fun. I just can't pronounce stuff. I never even figured that out in school. You know, that little, what do they call, symbol thing next to it when they, the phonetic spelling of something, and I never mastered that as well. So, anyway, moving on to the classic, Thomas A Kempis's Imitation of Christ, as beautifully embedded through Kelly Mantone's Worthy Reception, her new book available on Kindle, and I will have that link in the show for you, and the show notes, I should say. You can get it through Amazon, Worthy Reception. We start, Kelly writes, our retreat by being reminded that our purpose in this life is to know, love, and serve God so that we might be happy with Him in heaven. So often we fall prey to the worldly pleasures, distractions, and sins that lead us away from our eternal goals. We must try to remove ourselves from the temptations of this world and cling more closely to the only one, capital O, who offers us strength for this life and joy in the next. And she begins with The Morning, Book 3, Chapter 53, and the title is The Grace of God is Not Communicated to the Worldly Minded. And it's interesting that Thomas A Kempis uses the word worldly minded, because one of the things I like to pray about and talk about is being eternally minded, the internal minded, being focused on the things of heaven, the things beyond this day. You're never guaranteed tomorrow. Just spend 1 minute on social media and you know terrible things happen every single day, which is probably why I struggle so much with anxiety, because I have no control and I'm a control freak. I hate the fact that there is something that happens beyond this world that I have really no idea about. I have not been completely clued in, and the unknown makes me a crazy woman, just crazy. It gives me such anxiety. And I know that the scriptures say, have anxiety in nothing, but in everything, we're reminded by St. Paul, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your request known to God, and then the peace that surpasses all understanding will guide your heart and mind. That's in Philippians 4:6. And I get it. You know, I get that I am not supposed to be anxious, that if I'm eternally minded, if I let God's grace live within me and I realize that I am only human, that He has put me here, and that I didn't put myself here, God put me here. You know, even if I want to say somebody put me here, I can kind of rationally think, well, if somebody put me here, then somebody's going to take me from here. But what are they going to do with me? Like, what happens to my soul? What happens to me? And not having that complete understanding is unnerving. It's absolutely petrifying. But what I love about Thomas A Kempis, An Imitation of Christ, is this teaching to spend time in prayer and let the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your heart and mind. Let Him teach you the peace that you don't have to know what comes next. You don't have to worry about what's happening in this world to have peace that God is there with you, and that He is the one driving the boat, the train, the bus, the fidelity truck, whatever you want to say, and that He is bringing us to where we're meant to be, which is with Him forever in heaven. And the Imitation of Christ is broken up into two parts, where we have Christ speaking to us, and then we have the disciple, us, speaking back to Christ. And so she begins here with Christ speaking to us. Son or daughter, my grace is precious. It I just sounded a little bit like Gollum there for a second. Hello, my precious. Okay, sorry. I don't even watch Lord of the Rings, but everybody knows that he says my precious. So Grace, sorry. I am so sorry. I'm not drunk now. I have sobered up since Sunday. I know, sometimes it's hard to tell. My grace is precious. It suffers not itself to be mingled with external things or earthly consolations. Thou must therefore cast away every obstacle to grace if thou desire to have it infused in thee. Of course, it's these and thyselves and thous, because this is written in a different time, but it's so timeless. So timeless. And I'm so excited that Kelly Mantone took this and put it in a retreat form book, A Worthy Reception. So beautifully done. Just the pieces that she pulls out are perfect, absolutely perfect. And the next part that Jesus talks about, that Thomas a Kempis kind of leads us to this conversation with Christ, is choose a secret place for thyself. And this really got me to think about how I pray, where I pray, how I carve out quiet time for God, because God is heard in the whispers, scripture tells us. We could be looking for him in the howling wind and in the thunder, but that's not where he is. He's in the quiet. And therefore, we need to create quiet. And Jesus gives us that example by going off on by himself into the desert, for going off by himself, even in the garden when he brought his friends. He went a ways away from them to pray, to listen to God, to find that quiet. Where are we doing that? How are we doing that? It has to be mindful, because our days are crazy. We've got kids, and we've got husbands, we've got work, we've got parents to take care of, we have spouses, we have so many things, housework, bill paying, which I'm really bad at, but pray for me to get better at this. Anyway, it's a little side note. But we have so many things that tear at our attention. See how easy it is to just squirrel? Like, here I am talking and suddenly I'm thinking about my bills and this overcharge I just got because I totally missed the bill. And like, it makes me sick to my stomach when I see the mistakes I make and how the worldly stuff can just bear down on us and crush upon us. And it's so hard to stay peaceful, mindful of God, and not to get distracted. So we need to find quiet places, a secret place for thyself. Love to dwell with thyself alone. Seek not, Akempis says, to be talking with anyone, but rather pour forth devout prayers to God that thou mayest keep thy mind in compunction and thy conscience clean. And so a couple of the places that I like to do, I like to, once the kids get on the bus, I like to take a few minutes in just a secret little quiet spot in my house, just looking out the window and with other book I have in front of me. The Catholic Mom's Prayer Companion has been my prayer companion of late. I also have Susan Tassone's Day by Day, where I pray for the holy souls in purgatory. The rosary, as I said, I just went to the kitchen and walked around. Well, actually went, it's our breezeway, but we turned into a dining room and just walked. Sometimes it's outside. At this afternoon, I'll be going to my new holy hour, which I'm excited to have this hour to spend in quiet with the Lord. There's always a place. Maybe it's in your car. Maybe, you know, during lunch, even if it's just one day a week at work, you excuse yourself from the lunchroom or your desk and you go sit in your car and you spend that 10, 15 minutes of quiet in there with Christ and with your scriptures, with your rosary, with, I said to take the Catholic Mom Prayer Companion, and each day ends with a prayer and a question to ponder, to take either one of those and write it on an index card and to keep it with you throughout the day, pulling that out, reading, figuring out, you know, what God's trying to tell you in that moment. We know that he's always talking. It's finding time to listen. We come back, we're going to look at more of Kelly Mantone's A Worthy Reception. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingrich here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. If you would like to support A Seeking Heart, I invite you over to breadboxmedia.com. Click on the link that talks about Friend of the Show. For just $10 or more a month, you can become a premium member of a friend of this show, A Seeking Heart, a friend of Allison Gingras. And it includes my membership, thanks to you, include a choice of a prayer squirrel or a bracelet. And you will get it before the year is over. I promise. There are a couple people who are just so patiently waiting. Faithy's in school, back in school. I have no car right now. Please pray. My car's being fixed. God is so good, though. It was supposed to be $1,500 problem. It's only a $400 problem. That, to me, is God being ever, ever so good to me. So I have a car now to get you those to the mailbox. But you do get a prayer squirrel or a bracelet, extra entries in every giveaway, and a monthly hangout on Google the last Wednesday of the month that we will eventually make happen. We did it once, and then, you know, but it will happen. And then some exclusive content on Breadbox Media page. And always, always extra prayers for me. If you are a friend of the show, you are a friend of mine, and you are always in my heart. Even if you don't send me $10 a month, I will still always be here to pray for you. And if you have any prayer requests, go to Reconcile to You. And then there's a tab that says Need Prayer? ? Click on that. Send me your request. You can do it anonymously. And I will bring your request to me to adoration when I go either Wednesdays or Fridays, or when I go to Mass, or just if it's an immediate need, I will go to my knees for you and I will pray for you. I promise. I'm definitely not one of those people who'll say, I'll pray for you and don't. I always do it, even if I do it within that very second. You can count on my prayers. And I think that's such an important part of growing eternally minded, of growing in peace and hope, is through prayer, is having others pray for you, is to pray for yourself. And I cover myself in prayer with this. I don't even know how I discovered this, but I think it's one of the most awesomest, best kept secrets that I'm going to give to you. Did you know that you can go to Google and you can put in any search engine, really, but I just happen to be a Google girl. You can go in there and you can put in the words nuns that pray, nuns that pray. And up will come a list of websites where you can click on them, go to these wonderful cloistered orders who spend their life in dedication to the church in prayer. And you can put in prayer requests. So cool. I do it once a month, usually. Sometimes every other month. I don't want to be too greedy, but you know what? I feel like they're there and they're willing to pray. It's like the image of our Blessed Mother with her hands, the Lady of Grace, with her hands out by her side. And from her fingertips are coming rays of great light. But between those rays are darkness. And Catherine LeBray said to our Blessed Mother, like, why is there darkness? And she said in reply, God has so much grace to give, abundance of grace. And because of our free will, we need to ask for it. So the light's aware the grace has been asked and received, but the darkness shows unused grace. Well, I don't know about you, but if there's free stuff to be had, I want in. To know that there's grace and I'm not using it, that's just foolishness, because I need as much grace as I can get, especially after I tell you the next story about Sunday night. You're going to see, I need grace. I need lots of it. So even I forget to ask for it. You know, this whole anxiety that is just these panic attacks that have been overcoming me again, I need to keep reminding myself to ask for God's grace for healing in it, to ask for God to give me the strength to recognize that He is here, that I am okay, that He is with me, and that I do not need to be anxious or worried about a great many things, as Jesus told Mary and Mary of Bethany, not the other. There's a lots of Mary. You think with all the names in the world, they could have the scripture writers could have, changed the name to protect the innocent. I don't know. Just make our lives easier by giving people different names. All right. I may want to change my name after I share this story with you. So Sunday night, we went over a friend's house to have a little barbecue. These are good, close friends. We've been friends with them forever. And I was so excited about just some quiet time with them, just talking. And my friend and I have this favorite margarita mix. It's a white peach light, 95 calories a serving. So I said to my husband, I'm only bringing one bottle, because if it ends up being there's the two of us, I know us well enough, we'll finish it off. But we were supposed to be there for 7 or 8 hours, so it wasn't a big deal. Yes, I had two bottles in the house. I only brought one with me. Well, she had the same good idea. And she had a bottle as well. Now, here's how this relates to this book today. Kelly Mantone's A Worthy Reception. It's a retreat based on Thomas A. Kempis's classic The Imitation of Christ. And here we have, on one of the days, this beautiful two paragraphs. Let me read them to you. A joyful going abroad often brings forth a sorrowful coming home. Hello, Godsidence. How funny is God? Oh, no, he keeps going, though. This is Thomas A. Kempis's writing inside of Kelly Mantone's A Worthy Reception. And a merry evening makes for a sad morning. Do you see why I love this book so much? This book also includes Thomas A. Kempis's Imitation of Christ. I'm not sure if Kelly used it or not, but includes my favorite line ever, ever in any book. And it's about how people get on our nerves. And Thomas says, remember, when you're putting up with somebody, somebody else is putting up with you. Yeah, that's the Allison abridged version. But no, God keeps going on this one. A joyful going abroad often brings forth a sorrowful coming home, and a merry evening makes a sad morning. So all cardinal joys enter pleasantly, but in the end bring remorse and death. Really? Well, so how does one end up accidentally drunk? Well, one doesn't get off their keister and keeps having the beverage brought to them. And they weren't eating very much. And like I said, I brought one bottle. She had another. And before I knew it, the kids were doing cartwheels and somersaults. And Allison, who used to be a gymnast, thought that would be fun. I luckily was lucid enough to know that my arms and shoulders are not strong enough these days to hold me up for a cartwheel, but I thought for sure I could do a little basic somersault. So I very carefully did a somersault. Well, all of a sudden, there's the worst cracking and crinkling noise of the world. And this, my friend's son looked at me and was like, that's not a very good noise. I said, no, that's not. And I really thought I had injured myself, but I didn't feel anything. And I sat down and my husband's like, are you okay? I said, I'm okay now. I'm not sure how I'll feel in the morning. Well, in the morning, I woke up with two tingly arms. Well, of course, I'd fallen asleep on the couch in a very awkward position. And I was still, this is so pathetic. I'm so sorry. I was still drunk in the morning a few hours later. I just was like, God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I don't know how I did this. But see, it started because of my anxiety and that I thought that this drink would make me feel better. Well, one of them may have taken the edge off, but a whole bottle ain't going to help you. Because you know what happened? The whole next day, entire Monday, I spent in a full-blown panic attack. Why? Because I thought I had hurt myself. Two completely numb hands, which, by the way, one of the symptoms of a panic attack is pins and needles in your hands. It wasn't until about 2 hours into this, up and down, kind of like moving my neck, going, no, it moves. It doesn't hurt too bad, that I realized that in the back of my hair was one of those giant alligator clippy things because I always wear my hair up in one of those big clips. So I pulled out the clip and it's in shambles. Yeah, I didn't crack my neck. I broke my hair clip. Oh my gosh. How Jesus must just shake his head at me over and over again. But luckily, there is hope for all of us because we have the sacrament of forgiveness. We have God's mercy. We are just human, and that we have this ability to pick ourselves back up again and start anew, to put aside those things, to ask God for his forgiveness. He knows my heart. He knew that wasn't my intent. It was not my intent to sit down and get stinking drunk and think I broke my neck. But it was a really good eye opener to myself that I need to be more mindful. I need to be more aware and turning to him more often than turning to the world. And that's Thomas A. Kempis's point. We need to find time to be quiet, to listen to God, to turn our attention to him, to be in prayer, to be connected with him. Because, I mean, even as a prayerful person, when this anxiety starts to take over, I forget to pray. I forget to turn it over to God. And I get impatient with it, not realizing that God has left this thorn, this anxiety within me, because it is the very thing that makes me reliant upon him. As St. Paul teaches us, his grace is enough. You know, three times he asked for the removal of a thorn, and yet God left it. And he had a purpose and a plan. When we get back, we're going to look at more of a worthy reception. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Bedbox Media. We will be right back.
You are listening to Bedbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We are talking today, tomorrow, and she will be herself on Friday, about Kelly Mantone's new book, A Worthy Reception, a retreat based on Thomas A. Kempis's classic, Imitation of Christ, which also happens to be Allison's favorite book in all the world. Well, the Bible's my favorite book, but this book, it took me forever to actually be brave enough to read. It seemed so overwhelming with the old English and the these and the thous, but it is so funny. Truly, it's funny. It's insightful. It is just inspiring. It's so good. We did it as a Bible study many, many years ago, and I wrote questions to go with it because it doesn't have a study guide. I really should probably pull those out and make better use of them, because I think that this book needs more eyes upon it. And I'm so excited to see that Kelly found a way. Kelly Mantone, again, A Worthy Reception, a retreat based on Thomas A. Kempis's classic, Imitation of Christ, is the name of the book. It's available on Kindle. I think it's available on hard copy too. And I so apologize for not knowing that. I opened up her website this morning to get all this information, and This ain't the Lyceum is the name of her website. And I expected to, but she'll be here on Friday. So we'll clear all that up and I'll have everything in the show notes. Thank goodness for show notes. But we're going to go on now to the evening portion of this retreat, day one. I didn't get too far, but actually day two, it was all integrated in what I talked earlier. It was one of those such a God-sidence moments. But anyway, this is called Compunction of Heart. And I love Kindle when you can just, highlight the word and go, what does that mean? So compunction. It's one of those things like you kind of know what it means. And I thought, do I have that right? I sort of had it right. So The dictionary tells us that it means a feeling of guilt or moral scruple that prevents or follows the doing of something bad. And I wrote in my notes, I sure wish that it would prevent more often than followed. Well, anyway, so it opens with, if thou wilt make any progress, keep thyself in fear of God and be not too free, but restrain all thy senses under discipline and give not thyself up to foolish mirth. Yeah, I get it. I get it. I get it. I make poor choices. I think that's important for you to know. If you're going to listen and grow in your holiness, I hope through what God talks about here, what God brings to you here, the Holy Spirit inspires us here on A Seeking Heart, you need to know how much on this journey I am with you. I'm right there with you. I don't have it figured out. The only part I have figured out is that I need God, that I am a sinner, that I am broken, and that I need a Savior. That's about all I've got figured out. And I've got it figured out that it is Christ. I need Christ. I need the sacraments. I figured out I needed Christ first. And then as I grew closer to him and started to understand the scriptures and what he was calling me to, I knew that I needed the sacraments, because there's no greater way to experience Christ in this world, in my body, in this, bodily experience that I'm having here. There's no other way to experience him as a human than through the sacraments. Yes, you can have amazing mystical spiritual experiences with the scriptures through prayer. Absolutely. But you have never experienced Christ in the fullness that he has for us until you have experienced him through the Eucharist and through reconciliation. I actually got to go to reconciliation on Saturday. Yep, I need to go back. I'm aware of that. I already need to go back. But that usually happens. I usually have to go every week, every other week, maximum. I don't like to have too much stuff sticking around on my soul. I learned that from Mother Angelica. And when I sat down to give my confession, first of all, I ended up going to my pastor, which I didn't want to do, but it ended up being exactly where I needed to be. And one of the things that I was talking to him about was this lack of faith. I feel like anyone who believes in God, as much as I feel like I do sometimes, shouldn't have this much fear. I shouldn't be this anxious and afraid and doubtful if I believe, but I do. And he was so sweet. He's like, that's the human condition. Like, that's a very normal thing to deal with. And he said, not to put light on your sins, because they're still sins, but this is a very, very normal thing for the human heart. It's, you know, we're dealing with an unseen world, an unseen God. That veil is there, though I don't think it's as heavy as I once thought it was. And I do have these moments where I do experience him in most amazing ways. And that has been through receiving the Eucharist, spending time with Jesus in the Eucharist in adoration. And we believe that that host, that piece of bread, in some mystical way that my brain can't ever wrap itself around, we believe that it becomes Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And that when he is placed in that beautiful monstrance and placed on the altar, that I am now able to have an experience of heaven. Heaven and earth collide, and I am sitting in the presence of God with all the angels and the saints and the Blessed Mother and all of those who aren't named saints. My friends, my relatives have gone before me. I believe through God's mercy, because there's no way of knowing for sure where unbaptized babies go from, lost in the utero. But I believe that through God's mercy and our Blessed Mother, who takes all of our consecration prayers and graces and distributes them according to God's will, I believe that those children are with me are in heaven. So therefore, they're with me when I'm sitting in adoration. Like, what an amazing experience. And only can we have that through the sacraments. And again, in today's book, A Worthy Reception by Kelly Mantone, we're going to spend these next 2 days preparing our hearts. This is a 4-day retreat. We only have 3 days to talk. But that's the point of why we give you the link to the books that you yourself can take a look at it and prepare your own heart to worthily receive confession and to then the Eucharist, to go to Mass with a whole new heart. Like, shed that lukewarmness, shed that part of you that takes for granted what is happening, or maybe has never even experienced this. Maybe, you know, coming to the Catholic faith is new for you. Maybe this is all kind of like, I'm just trying to figure it all out and learn about it, that it's so easy for you to become kind of complacent, I think, for me to become complacent. I don't mean to put this on you. For me to become complacent, and why, when my friend Kathy started talking about receiving communion on the tongue, even though the church allows it on your hands, and I don't think there's anything wrong with receiving it that way, I felt this desire to try to receive it. Now, for someone like me who's a germaphobe, this is huge, people. This is huge, as Christina Trinidad would say, people. She, you know, to receive on my tongue is hard for me. It's humbling for me. It takes a lot, but it helps me to realize that I'm not just receiving a piece of bread. It's not a symbol of Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ. It is a time for me to encounter a closeness with the God of the universe in a way that nothing else ever brings me to. And why Thomas Akempis talks so much about, you know, separating myself from the worldliness to attend, as she says here in day two, Thomas says in Kelly Mantone's A Worthy Reception, but attend to heavenly goods and thou wilt see that all of these temporal things are nothing but very uncertain and rather burdensome, because they are never possessed without care or fear. The happiness of man consists not in having temporal things in abundance, but a moderate complacency of sufficiency. It is truly a misery to live upon earth. See, is not Thomas Akempis hysterical? The more a man desires to be spiritual, the more this present life becomes distasteful to him, because he then better understands and more clearly sees the defect of human corruption. For eat, drink, watch, sleep, rest, labor, and to be subject to other necessities of nature is truly a great misery and affliction to a devout man who desires to be released and free from all sin. So much to contemplate, so much to think about when we continue tomorrow with A Worthy Reception, a retreat based on Thomas Akempis' classic Imitation of Christ by Kelly Mantone. I'm going to adoration now. I'm going to take the book with me very shortly. I'm actually going. And I'm going to spend that time again asking God for forgiveness, looking to be not so overwhelmed by the worldliness, my lack of worldliness, not having the funds I need, and just all of those things that bring me such anxiety, not being able to control whether I'm healthy or sick in most cases, or accidents that happen, or my children, and all of those things that bring me such a great anxiety. I love that when I bring myself into the presence of the Lord, when I try to put the world aside and focus on Christ, and focus on being heavenly minded, eternally minded, I then see the beauty of what God has for me, both in the reception of the Eucharist and in reconciliation, forgiveness, mercy, hope, all of ours. Just some days it's a little bit more of a struggle than others. We're going to pick up tomorrow with more of A Worthy Reception. You have been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.